busy living so bomb, busy living so bomb. How is everybody today? It's episode 428. Welcome to the show. It's Elizabeth Chan, certified health and wellness coach, certified recovery coach, and a life coach. So glad you're here. If you're back, welcome. If you're here for the first time, welcome. Anyway, if you like what I say or you like what I hear, what you hear, please subscribe to my channel on YouTube and go to my website, elizabethchance.com, and sign up for my newsletter that comes out every Friday. So today's Wednesday. It's actually Tuesday because I record on a Tuesday. And I've been thinking about something today, and I've been getting a bunch of emails about this topic of, you know, trying to get sober and not being able to get sober and like keeping it trying and keeping trying and keeping trying. And I want to mention something that really, really, really helped me. And because I got sober in a 12-step room, they have these steps, right? There's 12 steps. You probably heard about them. You probably watched them when you watched a made for TV movie, or you watched a movie that talks about the steps, and it talks about powerlessness. And it says step one, you're powerless over alcohol. And I would be like, wait a minute, what do you mean? Okay. And I can still remember today, 17 and a half years later, standing outside of this bar going, I'm only going to have one. Now, can you relate to that? I'm only going to have one. Swearing to yourself, swearing on everything that you were going to be like, I'm not going to have a drink. I swear I'm not going to have a drink. I am only going to have one drink. It doesn't matter about the rest of them. I'm only having one. And you have those thoughts and you go, oh my gosh, I'm only going to have one. And one leads to two. And two leads to three. And for me, three leads to four and go on to probably 47. I mean, to the point where I'm like drinking stuff that you probably normally would never drink, meaning like, let's see, I would have whiskey. I would have, Jim Beam. I would have Irish Mist. I'd have all this stuff. Now, today, I have to tell you that I just got back from being out in New Mexico with my youngest and his girlfriend, and they went skiing. I'm not going to say I went skiing because that would be a lie. I was sitting at the base of the mountain waiting for them most of the time. But I went out there, and when I was there, I noticed that there were so many different kinds of booze. I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, when I was drinking, there was one tequila and it was kind of Cuervo. Maybe there were other ones, but that was like the only one. Now there's like a billion kinds of whiskey and a billion kinds of everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But back to the powerlessness, not to digress, but I always found that very interesting, that how many different kinds of alcohol there is today. I mean, before there was like literally, if you had like one choice, now there's like a billion choices. But anyway, back to the powerlessness. So I was powerless. I was powerless over the fact that once I had one, I had 47. Can you relate to that? Like that thought of like, and I would be like, oh, they'd say, the first drink gets you drunk. And I'd be like, no, it doesn't. Are you kidding me? It's the 47th drink that gets me drunk, or maybe the fifth drink that gets me drunk. It's not the first drink that gets me drunk. But then I had to realize after time, spending a lot of time in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, that the reality is this, it is the first drink. It is the first drink because my brain, I don't know if your brain is like this, but I have one drink and the whole thing lights up like a Christmas tree. And it's like, I want more, 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 more. It had nothing to do with the fact that I had one drink, because one drink will lead me to having a million drinks, because that phenomenon of craving that they talked about in the 12 steps was all about that phenomenon of craving. Was where I am. That's where I go in my life. I get the phenomenon of craving. I have one and I want more. I am powerless over this thing, this liquid substance. I am. It's not a question of maybe sometimes, every day, my brain chemistry is not changing. I know if I went and I picked up a drink today, I would have the same thing happen to me that happened to me every other time I picked up a drink, which I would go down this I used to call it when I was really drunk. I'd be like, I'm going down the misty highway, because I'd have one drink and forget, all bets were off. All bets were off. I was never one of those people that's like, I'm only gonna have one drink and I'm gonna count my drinks. I'm only gonna have one. I'm not gonna have, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna just have one. I just couldn't do it. It just didn't work for me because every time I went out, I got drunk. It's just the way I that's the way that my brain chemistry and my body is. It's just like for since the minute I was born, I've always had too much. Because I'm powerless over it. It doesn't mean I'm a morally bad person. I'm not a morally bad person. I do bad things that are more against my morals when I am drinking, but morally, I think we all are good people. I think that when we get to that place where we pick up a drink and we might have that brain chemistry, that's why I talk about the family so much and I talk about my grandmothers a lot of times, because I believe that genetically I was predisposed to this, just like my brown eyes, okay? Now, my hair being blonde, I do hit the bottle for that. I do pay for that. But when it comes to when it comes to drinking and alcoholism, I had it in my body already. It was already that gene was sitting there dormant for a long time until I literally went to that place. It was like, bing, oh wow, I have this disease. Oh wow, I can't process alcohol like other people. Oh wow, bad things happen when I drink. Now you might say, I can relate to that. I have bad things happen when I drink. But how do you change that? How do you get to this place where you're like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired? For me, it was when I was 37, right? I woke up one day. After partying a lot, and I think that's what's important to identify, by the way, is the fact that everybody has a bottom and everybody's bottom looks different. My bottom might be whatever, and your bottom may be what your bottom is. But getting to that place where you're like, I'm so sick and tired of this, I'm willing to go to whatever lengths it takes for me to stop doing this. And my lengths did not, I did not, for me, I was so sick and tired of it. And I, on my journey, you know, I had gotten in trouble when I was 18, and my dad, I hit a brand new car, and in my car, got a drunk. I was drinking and driving at 18, and my dad took me to rehab, and because I'm a master manipulator, my mom took me out, and so I didn't stay there. But that was my first time that I went to treatment was when I was 18. Now, that was also the last time. And I was only there for like 12 hours, but it was scary enough for me that I was like, I'm not going back to this place. This is terrible. But nothing happened to me when I didn't stop till I was 37. So I went another almost 19 years of drinking before I stopped. And when I did stop, I always like to tell people, for me, my bottom might not look like your bottom. My bottom was like, I am sick and tired of doing this. I am sick and tired of waking up in the morning going, I hate myself. I am so sick and tired of going, oh my God, I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. I am so grateful, by the way, that there were no cell phones like there are today because it would have been bad, bad, bad. But I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired of waking up saying, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. And I did it and I did it and I did it because I'm powerless over it. I realized that. I realized that every time I picked up a drink, I got drunk. Now, again, you might say, well, it's not, I can drink a million cocktails. So could I. But I had one drink. And if I had one drink, then guess what? All my senses could stop. I wasn't as much, like, I didn't have as much control. Once I had that one drink, all of my abilities to go, oh, okay, I'm not gonna have another one, weren't really there. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, I can have one and stop. But how much effort does that take? Like the effort that I would have had to put out there would have been so hard for me that I wouldn't want to do it because I'd be like, this effort is too much. The effort I have to put into not having another drink, it takes a lot of brain power, it takes a lot of thought, it takes a lot of self-control, it takes a lot. And I don't have that. Do you? I don't have that self-control inside of me once I have that one drink. I'm like, you know what? I had one. Bring on another one. So I would go to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. So that's when they say you're powerless over it, I can remember being powerless over it. I can totally remember being powerless over it being like, oh my God, I can't do it. I can't, I can't, I can't. I'm powerless over it. I have the one and I'm powerless over it. I have the one and I can't make myself stop. I can't rationalize with myself. It's too hard to rationalize. It's too hard. It's too hard to rationalize with myself and go, oh my gosh, you know what, self? You can't do another one. Because I couldn't, I don't have that control once I have that in my body. Once I have alcohol in my body, all bets are off. So I'm done. I'm for the races. And that's why I've never picked up another drink again, because I remember that feeling of waking up the next day going, I did it again. I swore I wasn't going to do it again, and I did it again. How did I do it again? How did I do something that I so didn't want to do, but I did it again? Oh, that's right. I said yes to the first drink. That's right. I said yes to the first drink. Now, this is my opinion. This is about me. This might not work. This might not be your story, and this might not relate to you. But for me, this, and I'm just saying this because maybe it will help you or will help somebody you know. You know, it's the first one that gets me drunk. It's not the 47th one. It's the first one. I didn't understand that. I said, no, I can have a lot. I've got a wooden leg. I can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. But no, they were totally right. It was the first one. Because once I had one, I couldn't rationalize not having another. I couldn't talk myself out of it. I couldn't will myself out of it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't say, oh, okay, I've had enough. Stop now. I'm done. I'm done. I don't want another one. No, it was more like, where is the rest? Where is, I need more. I need more and I need more and I need more. And I'd be chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. And what I realized after years of sobriety, that I was chasing a feeling that was so intangible of having all the time. It was something I was chasing that was like an unattainable, a sense of bliss, a sense of like, oh my gosh, I don't have to worry about anything. But that went by like a blink of an eye. I had a friend that unfortunately I don't think he's still sober, but he had this he would say all the time, you know, the whole time I'm drinking, I have this sense that I just want, I just, you know, I have this sense that I'm chasing this buzz that's no, you can't even I have this sense that the buzz I'm looking been looking for is so fleeting. It's like a second. I'm looking for this buzz that lasts 1 second. And all night long, I'm chasing it and chasing it and chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. And I don't get it back, but I have this feeling that I want to get it and I want to get it. I'm God, I gotta get it. I gotta get that feeling again where everything's okay and I can't get it. And then I wake up the next day and I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent all night chasing this thing and I can't catch it because it's not catchable. Because it's not real. It's momentary. It's like so not, it's like the fact that we chase it, this thing that's non-attainable, that we can't chase. That's the insanity. That to me is the insanity. Is that I keep wanting to chase something that is unattainable. I can't get it. I can't get to that perfect buzz, that perfect place. I can't get to it. It's not attainable. I can't get there. But I keep trying because I'm powerless once I have one drink. One drink. It touches my lips, hits my tongue. I'm sticking my tongue out if you're watching me on YouTube. I stick out my tongue, I touch it, and it's like, it like lights up this Christmas tree in my brain, if you can relate to this in your brain. And it's like more, 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 more. I'm powerless. Once it goes in my body, I have no choices. The choice is gone. The choice has disappeared. It's disappeared. The choice has been taken away. Can you relate to that? Swearing, you're only gonna have one. I'm powerless over it. I'm powerless. Do you relate to that, being powerless over it? Because you've sworn up and down, and you swear, and you tell everybody, "I'm not gonna do it again. I'm not gonna do it again." You promise your loved ones, you promise your family, "I'm not gonna do it again." But somebody offers you a drink somewhere, and you say, "Okay," and then it's over. You're down. You're out. It's over. You've like surrendered at that moment to say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this is going to look like because all of my power is over. It has been turned over to this spirit. You know, they called it the spirit store back in the day because it's a spirit, right? Because it changes you. Alcohol changes you. Soda doesn't change you, right? Water doesn't change you. No. Alcohol changes you. Marijuana changes you. Pills change you. They change your brain. Your chemistry is not there, what God had you born with. So it changes it. And alcohol is legal, so we think it's okay, but it's just as bad as all the rest of that stuff. Because it's a spirit you put in your body and it changes you. And when you have so much of it that you go into a blackout and you can't remember, you've pretty much done alcohol poisoning to your body, to your brain. Your brain is no longer functioning. So once you put that in your body, all bets are off. Again, this is not a moral issue. I mean, so many people want to put it out there as like, it's morally bad. It's morally bad. I don't think we're morally bad when we pick up a drink. I think what we do when we're drinking sometimes is immoral. And we might do things that you normally would definitely not do if you hadn't been drinking. But you, once you drink, you do things. But if you weren't drinking, you would be doing good things. The things that you are happy about, the things that you're proud of, the things that you can hold your head high about. You know, I used to say to my kids when they were younger, I'd be like, if you're doing something that you can't stand on top of this the building in the middle of our town, on this on the literally on the roof of that building and scream that you're doing it, then you shouldn't be doing it. And they'd look at me and they'd laugh and they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about, Mom, but whatever. And but it's true for me too. Do you recognize that for you? Like when you're drinking, you get yourself into these situations. You're like, how did I get here? How did I do this? This is not like me. This is not who I am. This is not, and it's not. But you put the spirit in your body and things change. All bets are off. You have no sense of choice anymore. That's why I used to think, oh my gosh, people would be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to drink because it's going to give me so much freedom. I get to relax. It's so freeing to drink. But the reality is that's a lie because all the drinking does is put you in this little box, wanting more and 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 more. And then to think that you wake up the next day and you're hungover and you're like, I'm going to do this again. Or you're going to swear to yourself that you're not going to do it again. But you get yourself into one of those situations, you aren't wearing your armor, and things happen. Things happen. You make decisions and choices that you normally wouldn't make. You get to a place that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said yes to this, or I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I got myself into this situation. And that's why, for me, I believe that having a plan and getting comfortable in your own skin is so important in at least the first 90 days, if not year. I mean, I took a year out of life. I literally did. I took myself out of society as a whole. That was what worked for me. I don't know what works for you, but making sure that I'm comfortable in my own skin. What is that? What do I like to drink? Making sure I have that drink with me. What do I feel? Where do I feel comfortable where I don't feel comfortable? Because it was more important to me that I stayed sober than it was for me to drink. I wanted this. I wanted to be sober more than I wanted to be drunk. Does that make sense to you? I wanted to be sober more than I wanted to be drunk. It's like wanting to be thin more than you want to be heavy. Right? Like going to all those levels that you're willing to do. Like right now, I want to make sure I get 10,000 steps a day because I realized I watched these people skiing in my family and I'm like, I could fall and get hurt. I still believe that in my heart because I'm not the most, let's say, great athlete. And I could fall over and I could break something and I don't want to anymore. So now I'm starting to wear my Apple Watch again, which as much as I dislike it and what every, because it bings and does all these crazy things, but I'm going to wear it right now because I want to ensure that I get 10,000 steps. And this will ensure me to get 10,000 steps because if it doesn't, it will bing for me. And, it'll bing on my wrist and say, you got to keep moving. And I'm like, okay, I need that thing that's going to make me accountable. What are you going to do that's going to make you accountable when you've gone on this journey of not drinking? What is that? What are you going to set up for yourself so that you can succeed? What are you going to do? I'm wearing this watch. I mean, you get a sober buddy. That's why, you know, that's why for me, the 12 step was so great because I got a sponsor and my sponsor can help me be accountable. And I could call her, tell her what's going on with me, tell her how I'm feeling. Obviously, I had to pick somebody that I trusted, that in my heart I knew I could trust and be honest with that person and tell them where I was going, what I was feeling, so that they could be like, I got you. I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. That was so important to me. Having somebody to have your back. That's why I think this, like all these online and chat rooms work so much for the people that aren't getting sober through AA. They're actually at least have somebody to reach out to and say, oh my gosh, are you on this journey? I'm on this journey too. Let's be each other's like partner on this journey of being sober. How are we going to get there? And eventually you might not need somebody, but if you do, you don't have to be ashamed. It's just having somebody to be like your accountable buddy. Like, did you drink today? No, I didn't. Did you? No, I didn't. Awesome. All right, how are we going to get one more day? By the way, I want to throw this out there. Is anybody out there that's listening that's in Charlotte, North Carolina? I know somebody that's moving to Charlotte, North Carolina, and she needs a group. She needs some friends. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you're out there, reach out to me at Elizabeth at elizabethchance.com and I can put you in touch with this woman if you're willing to have her be a friend or somebody that you can reach out to because she's moving from Delray, which is, you know, the Mecca for people to get sober. People, a lot of people come here to get sober, but then they have to go back home and having a group is so important. So if you're in Charlotte, let me know. But that powerlessness, I did not understand until I really thought about it. I really thought about that feeling that I got and the feeling I would wake up to the following day after I drank and saying, how did I drink? I swore I was only not going to drink. I was only going to have one. Why did I have so many? Oh, that's right. It's the brain chemistry. It's the Christmas tree in my head. It's what happens when I ingest alcohol. Everything lights up and I have to have more, 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 more. And the only thing that works is the abstinence thing. We can sit here and say, oh, well, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. I'm going to try and just have one. Okay. For me personally, this is my personal opinion. Like having that cat and mouse game of just having one, forget it. You feel like it's the entire night. You're obsessed with, I'm not having one. Oh my God, I feel terrible. I want another one. I want another one. Again, it's the brain chemistry. It isn't the morals. I'm going to throw that out there again. This is not your morals. You are not a bad person. You have a brain chemistry. When you were born, somebody in your family is probably an alcoholic and you got that gene too, and you lit it up. Once you're a pickle, you can't be a cucumber again. So here you are, and you've been on this journey, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do it anymore. Why does it keep happening? Well, every time that somebody says to you, do you want a drink? Instead of saying yes, your answer has to be no. Why are you not drinking? Oh, I don't want to have the sugar right now. Oh, I just can't handle it right now. Whatever your story has to be about why you're not drinking has to be your story, and you have to own that story. You have to go, because we can tell ourselves anything, right? We can tell ourselves, we can talk ourselves into anything, but talking yourself into believing that you cannot have alcohol. And so when somebody says it, what is your story going to be? Is your story going to be, because I drink too much and I don't want to drink anymore. You're not going to tell somebody that because that's going to be, you might feel too vulnerable. You can't tell them something like that. It has to be something nebulous, something that's like totally easy and it doesn't need too much explanation. Like, oh my gosh, I'm on medication right now, even if you're not. And I can't mix this medication. I'm on an antibiotic and it doesn't work well if you mix it with alcohol. Okay, that could be a good one. Or I have to drive, even though you might not have to. Or somebody's not feeling well and you want to be on alert because they're not feeling well. Or whatever it is, like you have to, I mean, I could go on and on. I could spend an entire half an hour talking about what you could say, why you're not drinking, but it has to be your story that you've sold yourself that you feel comfortable telling anybody who asks. Anybody that says to you, do you want to drink? And your answer has to be, no. I'm giving it a break for right now, but I'll have a Pellegrino, or I'll have sparkling water, or I'll have an iced tea, or I'll have a Diet Coke, or you'll have a mocktail. I will tell you the other big thing that happened while I was out west, and I don't know if anybody follows me on Facebook. My Facebook, it's I go live on Thursdays in my personal Facebook. Don't ask me why, but I just have been for 100 years, and I just keep going to that because it's easier. Let's just be honest. And all this stuff I do have an assistant to help me with a lot of social media, but I do the live with my husband, JF, filming here in my kitchen every Thursday, or if I'm away, I do it away. So this past Thursday, I was traveling. I was in Taos, New Mexico. I'm staying at a resort. I go to the bar. I sit down. I'm like, so where's your mocktail list? The guy was like, I don't have a mocktail list, but I can make you anything you want. I was like, dude, we're living in 2024. So many people have not are not drinking for whatever reason. They're not drinking for health reasons, be they're pregnant, whatever it is that they're not drinking for, and you don't have a mocktail list. Not great. You need to have a mocktail list. Every place I went to, on the ski mountain, I said the same thing. Like, you don't have a list for people that you're gonna have mocktails for. You need to add that to your like your menus. And they were like, oh, okay, I'm gonna tell my manager. Hopefully they'll keep doing that moving forward. I pray that more restaurants and bars have more choices for you to have if you're not drinking. They were able though, to, at all the places I went, they were able to take, they're like, what do you like? I'm like, I love ginger beer, I love lemon, I love lime, I love all that citrusy stuff. And they did make me drinks. And one restaurant on the mountain had three, all these different cocktails, excuse me, and they had them all with alcohol. And I said, can't you just make that same drink just minus the booze? And they brought me over three taste tests of their drinks without the alcohol, and I ended up having all three of them. And I said, can you get me a bottle of Pellegrino? So I just got a bottle of sparkling water. I poured the juice that they had made the mocktail with in a wine glass, and then I poured the sparkling water on top, and it was delicious. It was delicious. So just making sure that you take this, if you've decided you don't want to do this, it's about you. And don't say you're going to do it forever. That's another big thing. Don't say you're going to do it forever. You're just going to do it for today. And then tomorrow you're going to wake up and I'm going to say, and the next day you say, oh my gosh, I'm just going to do it for today. And I did that. And I gave myself little presents along the way. My big present for myself in the beginning was Baskin-Robbins. I know that's not great. Again, this is a long time ago. We didn't know how bad all these ice sugar and all this crazy stuff was. Maybe we did 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago, but nobody really focused on it. So I gave myself ice cream. And whatever that little gift is going to be for yourself, get yourself something that's a little treat for you that's just yours. Maybe it's M&Ms. Maybe it's whatever it is that you like. Maybe it's gummy bears. Maybe it's Sour Patch Kids. Whatever it is that makes you, satisfies you to give yourself a little present because you've done this is huge. And then at 30 days, if you get to 30 days, which I hope you will give yourself another present and then another present. And then once you get a year, you've saved up all this money. Maybe you go on a trip. Maybe you do something. But again, have something to look forward to. Take care of yourself. Be happy. Like, give yourself a present. Be happy about this thing that you're doing for you. It's about you, not about anybody else. Getting sober is totally about you and taking care of your body. It's just like me and wanting to get 10,000 steps a day. It's about me. It's not about my husband. It's not about my kids. It's about me. I want to be healthy moving forward and being able to be there when they want to go do these fun things. And instead of me being scared, I'll be like, oh, I'm in good enough shape. I can do this. I can go and ski down a mountain with you. I'm going on a green, not on a black, but I will go down a small little bunny slope and at least try it again. That's the one thing it inspired me to do is like say, all right, next year when we go and because my husband loves it, that I'm willing to, that I will be in better shape and I'll feel more comfortable, that I won't fall and I'll just take it easy. So, I hope this helped you today, and Again, remember powerlessness. It's not about you. It's not, you're not immoral. It's not morals. It's physical thing. It's how your body's made up, and not, it's not, you're not a bad person. You just have this disease that makes you powerless. And once you have one, it's off to the races. So it's your choice now. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please reach out to me at Elizabeth at ElizabethChance.com or Bizzy, B-I-Z-Z-Y at BizzyLivingSober.com. All of them will get to me. Go to my website, ElizabethChance.com. That's so easy. Or you can even go to BizzyLivingSober.com, B-U-S-Y, LivingSober.com. It will take you, I'll take you to the same place. And until next time. Oh, subscribe to my show. Subscribe, please subscribe, please subscribe, please like. And if you want me to talk about something, reach out to me in an email and I will talk about it in next week's podcast. And until next time, everybody, keep getting busy living sober. Bye, everybody. Take care. Keep getting busy living sober. Bye.